Welcome to Hardwood Handicappers with Zach Cohen, right here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This is Zachary Cohen back with another episode of Hardwood Handicappers. Hardwood Handicappers is sponsored by Better Picks, the fantasy app that turns your basketball takes into cash. Download the Better app and use code VSINPOD to get $10 free. No deposit needed. That's VSINPOD, V-S-I-N-P-O-D. We have a link for that in the description. Today is a Thursday episode of the show. We are recording this on December 11th at 9 a.m. Eastern. I am joined by Jonathan Von Tobel, co-host of Money Moves and also co-host of the Pod to the Futures podcast. JVT, how are we doing?
I'm good. You know, it's a NBA Cup and the home courts was not that entertaining. So hopefully Las Vegas gets a little bit better. I brought this up to Stormy the other day. I was going back through my old tweets. I believe the NBA Cup Las Vegas games are on like a 5-1 or 5-0 under run. So we'll see if that intensity picks up once we get to Vegas. But unders have been the play. So hopefully we see that and a little bit more competition. Outside of LeBron screaming in the face of, I think it was Luke Kornet with a dunk that cut the deficit to 10 last night.
Yeah, I also saw LeBron screaming in the face of DeAndre Ayton at one point in the game. That was not quite the same. But yeah, not a great night of games. I mean, I did enjoy seeing the Spurs just kind of doing what they do. But let's talk about it. Let's talk about the Suns and Thunder a little bit. I mean, I don't really want to get into it too much because that was a tough one for my Suns. It's also a tough game for Phoenix in terms of net rating for the entire season. That's going to be skewing some numbers. But just an insane performance from both teams, honestly, and on opposite ends of the spectrum. I mean, it was 86.4 points per 100 for the Suns, which put them in, I believe you say, the 0th percentile. Yeah.
How do you say that?
I don't know. I have no idea. But then the Thunder, the opposite end, like I just said, 135.3 points per 100, 99th percentile, much easier to say. But just an insane game where OKC just kind of flashed that championship medal on both ends of the floor.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what you're supposed to say, kind of what you're alluding to, right? I mean, this team, this Thunder team is dominant, like the poor spots, the whatever it is. They don't really seem to manifest every single time out. They're absolutely destroying teams. You know, these numbers in terms of the very few clutch games that they play at this point right now are absolutely wild. They're not playing in these fourth quarters for the most part anymore. You're not supposed to be this good, I think. And I think I saw, it was a great meme. It was just like a screenshot of the final score. And it was like, Adam Silver, you have to step in because it's just, you know, like at some point, you know, we look at this team and I'm surprised they haven't. I'll be honest with you. I'm surprised they're not odds on favor right now to win the NBA Finals. Like there's, as currently constructed, given the way they perform, what team are you realistically willing to step in front of right now? That's why, like my wagers, like, it's to win the Eastern Conference because I don't want any part of the NBA Finals. What are you going to do? Hedge against a team that's a massive, I mean, I will ballpark it, $8 favorite to win an NBA Finals if they're at this form when they get there?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still a little bit bigger of a believer in both Houston and Denver. Like, I think that those teams have a shot in a 7-game series, but it is starting to get a little bit ridiculous. I mean, let's not even forget that they have Nikola Topic and Tomas Sarber, their two first-round picks of the last 2 years just on ice, you know, improving and getting healthier. But you know, those guys will be back next year and the year after that. And it's just a team that's only getting better. But we should also talk about something that you brought up to me before the show. There is a bet now available on DraftKings that says OKC to not lose back-to-back games the rest of the season. That's available at plus 475 odds. I also want to talk about the fact that, you know, there was a bet that earlier in the season was available for OKC to win 74 plus, and that was available at like, what was it, like plus 750 at the time. Now it's down to plus 375.
No. So when it first got posted, Will Hill has about 19-1 on that something in that range, you know, ballpark it right there. And like you said, so 74 plus wins is plus 360. For your audience, FanDuel has a whole OKC market now up on a bunch of different things. For example, they have all the way up to 77 plus wins. So if you think they can win 77 plus regular season games, you're getting 15-1. Plus 920 on 76 plus, 580 on 75 plus, 74 plus is down to plus 360. You mentioned the market that I sent you. That was over at DraftKings, the will they lose consecutive games this year. And then here's a couple more for you. Oklahoma City, current win streak to reach 45 plus games, 80-1. Oklahoma City, current win streak to win 29 plus games at plus 450. current win streak to reach 34 plus games, the NBA record at 12-1, and then to reach 40 plus games, 22-1.
It's crazy. I mean, I did a little bit of digging to kind of talk about the back-to-backs, and I feel like in doing so, I kind of talked myself out of this being an extended winning streak, because January 15th to 21st, they have a four-game road trip where they go Houston, Miami, Cleveland, Milwaukee, and I don't know if Milwaukee's going to have Giannis or not by then, but those first three games are very tough. I can easily see them losing multiple games there. I don't know if it happens back to back or not, but then also January 29th and February 1st, Minnesota and Denver road games. And then to end the season, April 7th to 10th, when the season really should be wrapped up for OKC at that point, they'll go at Lakers, at Clippers, at Nuggets later in the year. So that kind of really, I do think they're going to lose back to back at some point, but you know, I do think 74 plus seems very, very possible.
So what do you think? So I would agree with you, like, with all of those points, like the consecutive games. I mean, it takes like one bad shooting night, you know, and then all of a sudden you're trying to fight. I mean, look, coming out of the shoot, I don't know if the Clippers will necessarily push them here. But when you come right out of this cup, you're talking about the Clippers on the Clippers on Thursday, the Timberwolves on Friday, and then you come back on Monday to take on Memphis, who's playing a little bit better, and then you get back-to-back games against San Antonio, right? You know, the 23rd and then Christmas. Spurs have been proven that they're not exactly a pushover, and I'm going to assume by the time you get to those two games against San Antonio, so Victor Wembanyama's back. I mean, you know, he seems very close to coming back, so I think those are probably spots where you slip up. What I'm most interested in is the two winning streaks, 29 plus games plus 450. They're currently at what, 16 right now, and 34 plus games, the NBA record at 12-1. Do you think they can achieve either of those?
I think they could definitely do 29 plus. I mean, that's just a matter of them, you know, winning the cup, getting through this, which is going to be not easy, but like they should win the games. But then, yeah, navigating a somewhat manageable schedule for the next couple of weeks. I mean, like you said, those San Antonio games are definitely going to be interesting, because we'll talk about that game next, but I am really impressed by what we've seen out of the Spurs. I mean, yeah, let's just go. Dive into that. Yeah.
Oh, just really quickly, we should note that on this bet, the language is that the NBA Cup final will not be counted toward the streak if OKC advances to that stage. So, and that's a good point, because that is technically not on like the regular season schedule. Yeah. So if they do advance to the NBA Cup final and lose it, should you bet this, that does not count against your bet as a streak. So just, or a consecutive loss. So keep that in mind.
I don't like that. A winning streak, you should have to win games to win.
Like you want as many wins as possible, obviously. Yeah. So like if they win that, I want that to count. But I mean, it's technically exactly what it is. Like the NBA, kind of like the play-in. They're in like this weird nexus void of like not counting in terms of statistics and whatnot. So they're doing that the same thing with the NBA Cup final.
Yeah, you should want it to count if they win, but also if they lose, that should be the end of a winning streak.
No. Don't count it if they lose.
It should count. Losing a game, I feel like that is the end of a winning streak.
Yeah.
But all right, let's get on to the other game, because that was definitely a little bit more interesting, a little bit more competitive, even though it was not competitive. Yep. So the Spurs win 132-119. I think the big performance for San Antonio was Castle goes for 30 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists. And this team improves to 8-3 now with no Wembanyama. I have been a bit of a skeptic with this team, and I was a little bit down on them heading into the season. I don't think I was down on them. I just didn't see them winning 46 games. I guess that is somewhat down on them, but I thought they'd have a winning record, but a little bit closer to 500. But I do think that the way that they're shooting the three has kind of opened my eyes a little bit, because they are shooting 36.9% as a team. Fox is back up to high 30s. I think it was 38 point something. So, you know, kind of back to the best seasons that he had with Sacramento. And if that's a guy that you can't go under screens on, and everybody else is kind of knocking down open shots. I know Castle had a good shooting game last night, but a struggle mostly for the rest of the season. But if this team can shoot the three and space the floor adequately for Wembanyama, for Fox to kind of attack and do what they want to do in isolation, then that changes everything for this team, because the talent level is there, the size is there, and I really, really like Johnson. I think that he's done a great job as that coach.
Yeah, I think so. For me, there's a couple of things here. First off, I wanted to focus on Castle for a second, because not only the scoring, you know, the things that's kind of stuck out when you look at Castle, his ability to draw fouls is getting better. You know, this year, if you look at his just last year to this year, 15.7% shooting foul drawn rate, and then of course 22.3% this year. So he's gotten better. It's a shorter sample size, but still it seems that he's improved at drawing contact and getting through there. And one percentage has dropped a little bit, so he's not finishing through contact, but still he's just drawing fouls more, which is I think a really good thing for them. And I think you hit it. So I texted you guys, and this was during like Wembanyama's health many months ago, but I was like, you know, like I'm kind of liking this team. Like the more I watch them, like there's so much there. And I think in a Western Conference that outside of like, you know, the top three that we have discussed, there is a lot of, I keep using the word malleability, you know, for that four seed, essentially, we'll call it. And I think that I wouldn't be surprised if this is like your fourth best team record wise by the time we get to the end of it. The Lakers, which we can talk about that aspect of it, their defense has been pretty middling and has really fallen off a cliff the last couple of games. And I think JJ Redick spoke to that. They're undefeated in clutch games. You know, they continue to pull these things off. They have, what, 16 wins or 15 wins, but they only have a plus 2.2 point differential. I think it's worse after last night, obviously. So I think that team at some point is going to fall. And there's a void there. And I think San Antonio is the perfect team to fill that, especially with Wembanyama on the verge of coming back.
Yeah, and I ended up adding a play on the Spurs last night after the podcast for them to cover against the Lakers. And yeah, ended up just coming down to the fact that, like, it got up way too high for me. Like, and I mentioned
seven and a half,
yesterday,
right?
It got to 7.5, and I was able to take an alternate 10.5 at a pretty reasonable price. And I was just thinking to myself, like, they're not going to lose by double digits. I said on the pod yesterday, like, the speed that they have in the backcourt is almost like the worst possible matchup for a Lakers team, that if any like weakness on the court is very evident, it's that they are slow and they have very like slow feet, like overall. Yeah. I think that, you know, they've done a pretty good job defensively in a team setting. I think that Ayton's been a pretty good anchor for them over the course of the year, but like they just have a lot of really slow players, and I think their guards are also pretty heavy in the foot as well.
Yep. No, I would agree with that. And I just, to like the overall thing here with San Antonio, and it sucks with OKC's presence at the top of the Western Conference, because there's like, from a future standpoint, like, what do you really want to do with this team? I mean, you know, you can maybe go like adjust a win total over, maybe you can bet a little Western Conference finals to win it. You know, there's some spots where you can get some finalists, you know, conference finalists, they'll start to hang those. So maybe you get one of those as well. But it's hard to really invest big picture other than kind of banking on this team day to day for the most part.
Yeah, and it's funny because it's like I said, all that stuff I just said about how they're shooting the three better, but like if they were to face OKC in a postseason series, they're going to have to shoot the hell out of the ball. And like, yeah, I just don't know that that is there. Like it might be better than what I expected, but I don't know if it's like, we let you shoot some threes and you guys just knock them down and make us pay and beat us in the series. I don't think it's there yet. But I guess what I would ask you about this team is, and like it is, I'm getting a little first takey with this, but like, would you make the trade for Giannis right now? Do you think that they're close enough to move Harper and Barnes for Giannis and be a title contender?
I thought Motokil Works for the Athletic had a great tweet last night, which is like, this result and what we have seen in the non-Wembanyama games, actually, I think seals it that you don't trade for Giannis. Because I think you feel, if you're San Antonio, like, dude, our core is actually really good. And why would we sacrifice? If you can get Giannis without sacrificing Harper or Castle, then go do it. But it's probably not going to be the case. So why would you do that? Because those three are legitimately great. Obviously, Wembanyama's untouchable. And then both Castle and Harper look really good. Why would you sacrifice your young core to go and get Giannis and force yourself to accelerate a timeline in which you would still have to overcome Oklahoma City, when the reality is, when you're hitting your stride as a team, you're not at the tail end of this Thunder thing, but they're in the nexus of having to make contract decisions, who to pay, who to not, bench is getting thinner. Like, you're probably on the right track to become, dare we say, like the next OKC by the time you get to the point where you're going to be a team that's ready to win the finals.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, like, parting ways with Harper at this point would be really difficult, just seeing how explosive he is attacking the basket. And like, he looks like a special driver, and I do think his jumper is pretty good. So I think there's a chance that he ends up being one of the better offensive engines in the league. It's just kind of, it's tough, because I do think that if they were to move Harper and only kind of like Barnes with him, and you keep Vassell and his 3-point shooting, I do kind of wonder if they're there. If you have Fox, Castle, Vassell, Giannis, Wemby, I think that you might be there in terms of contending for a title.
Yeah. I mean, the combination of Wembanyama and Giannis is just, it's disgusting. Yeah. Like, you're going to be able to beat a lot of these teams.
That's part of the reason I think I want to see it happen, too, is like I just want to see those two on the floor together. I don't care about logic long term. Just make it happen. But yeah, it is really tough. Harper's been great. So I don't blame them if they just choose to kind of hold on to their chips. And like I've heard Lowe and Mo Jaquiel talk about it as well. Like wait out this OKC 3-year timeline and win after that, too. Like that's something that's worth considering as well. All right, well, let's move on to tonight's games. It's not as exciting with no NBA Cup, but there are some decent games on the schedule for tonight. It starts with your Clippers against the Houston Rockets. Game tips at 8 p.m. Eastern. Rockets are laying 9.5. Total's 221.5. Do you have anything in this one?
No, but I think, and this is going to carry out through all of these games, when you have this situation in the NBA Cup that the schedule creates where everybody's coming in off of rest, and extended rest at that, you've got to kind of take each team at their face value and what they are and really kind of, I think, look at who they are at this point right now. And obviously, we know exactly what's going on with this Clippers team and the way that they have been playing up to this point, where it's hard for me to kind of buy in on Los Angeles to be kind of plucky in this spot, considering what we have seen from them as of late. They get the win over Atlanta, the one time that I had bet against them over the course of the last, you know, week. And yes, maybe you can say that they've covered two out of the last three. They pushed Minnesota the other night on the road. But for the most part, do you trust that this offense, which has been disjointed and very reliant on this jump shots, that they're going to fall consistently against a team that is the caliber of the Houston Rockets defensively? All things being equal with rest and everything like that, I don't trust that they're going to be able to stay inside of this number here.
All right. Well, I took the Clippers 9.5. And I'll tell you why, but I will start by saying I absolutely despise Los Angeles, and just having an added loss, you know, ATS loss for me would only just make things worse. But I do think that the rest is going to be very important in this game. I just think this is a very old Clippers team. I think that any extended stretch where they have a few days off is very helpful. And under Ty Lue, they are 16-8 against the spread, but having 3+ days of rest. Ty Lue, just a noted great coach at this point that I believe should have his job. But I do think this is a team that's played a little bit better since getting rid of Chris Paul, whether that's a coincidence or not. They're 2-1 against the spread over the last three games. And I do think that this is a game where, like, Houston plays this bully ball style where they hope that they could just be very forceful around the basket, dominate the offensive boards, and win ugly. I do think that that'll be somewhat difficult against Zubats, who I think has kind of the body and toughness to kind of like bang with those like Adams types. And I do think that also, like, you're talking about a Rockets team that is very, very strong defensively, but at the same time, the individual shot creation, I think, of James Harden and Kawhi Leonard should be very big in a game like this, where it's going to be a lot of slow half-court stuff. I think that the Clippers can execute well enough to avoid a blowout loss. And I will also add that Mäkinen has an estimated line of Rockets minus 4.7 here, if you look at the matchup page. So quite a strong edge, like actually two times the amount. Yeah, so I just thought that this is a decent number grab. But yeah, this team, like, it's very uninspiring at the moment.
Yeah, I think to your point, if this works for Houston and what they've been able to do, like, one of their big strengths has been their offensive rebounding. You know, they're, I think, number one right now. And I have their first in offensive rebounding rate. The Clippers are like on the fringes of the top 10. Like, they're a decent rebounding team. And Zubac is a big reason why. So if you can kind of cut off some of those second chance opportunities that the Rockets like to use to generate some open looks or to get some second chance points, then I can see a scenario in which the old guys finally, after a little bit of rest, I give them their best effort. And you're right. Like, maybe there is something to getting Chris Paul out of there. Like, I think it's not a good look for your team when the dude who's, you know, holding you accountable gets out of the building and everybody's happy. But hey, man, this has been this apathetic group for a really long time. So maybe that's exactly what they need, to not be held accountable and that they can play their best.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even talk much more about the Chris Paul situation. It bothered me so much.
Is that clip of Ty Lue real at practice?
I don't know. The way he waddles around, the way he waddles around reminded me of my wife when she was like 8 months pregnant. I don't understand. The way that he walks is absolutely insane. But yeah, it's hearing him just kind of like mother effing Chris Paul during practice, and the other players were laughing at it and acting like it was normal. Like, they clearly hated him. I mean, it's because they're losers. That's why they hated him.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to say it, I'm wearing a Clippers hat as we're talking about this. Yes, they are. I mean, that's really what it is. I mean, trust me, I tweeted it out. I jumped off the boat when they didn't show up in game 7 against the Nuggets. Like, complete and utter no-show for a team that had nothing going for it. Like, that was when I decided, like, I think I might be kind of done with this group. So I'm down with calling them losers.
And I think that's when they decided to jump off the boat too, because it's like that team, we all talked about it. Like, they were right on par with Boston and OKC in terms of net rating for like the final 2-3 months of the regular season. We all took them to win that series against the Nuggets. I think we all believed that there was a real chance that they'd make a run. And from there, they went from like one of the best teams in the league to one of the worst. So like,
one
really
of the biggest what
happened.
If moments is Aaron Gordon doesn't get that put back, or, you know, whatever you want to call it, in that game where they came back. That is going to go down as one of the big what if moments, because they can go on to, I think they were going to go up 3-1, if I remember correctly. Were they not? Was that 2-1 and they were up? We're going to go up 3-1 and
I think so.
Probably win the series, although with that team, you never know.
All right, well, if you missed it the first time, good news. We're giving you one last chance to score an unforgettable Vegas weekend at Circa Resort and Casino. Right now, the first 100 new VSiN Pro annual subscribers who sign up using promo code CIRCA will receive a free 3-night stay at Circa Resort and Casino January 2nd through January 5th, plus a day bed at Stadium Swim during the final weekend of the NFL regular season. You'll also save 50% off the monthly price and get a full year of VSiN Pro. That's daily best bets, exclusive betting splits, AI-powered prop tools, 24/7 video and every betting guide from the college football playoff, which just came out this morning, through next year's NFL. This is your last shot at the Circa getaway, so don't wait. Lock in your spot at vsin.com/circa and use promo code CIRCA. That's vsin.com/circa. Great offer. If you have not jumped on it, Circa is an awesome place. I've only gone once, but definitely was a great stay. All right, let's move on to Celtics at Bucks at 8 p.m. Eastern. This is a game where the Celtics are laying 8.5. Total's 223.5. Do you have anything in this one?
Yeah, I do. I got a couple of thoughts here. So, I mean, first off, Boston's hot run like continues to be incredible here. 10-2 straight up, 10-2 against the spread in their last 12 games, or 8-0 ATS in their last 8. Over the span, third best in net rating, best offense in the league, second best spread differential next to the Brooklyn Nets over this span, which is always pretty interesting. Nets have been a little bit feistier. I'm wrestling with this because there's two angles for me here. I think there's a player prop angle and a side angle here. The side angle is I kind of want to bet Milwaukee. I mean, I think we're like near the top of the market here for the Celtics. And if you really like dive under the hood, I think we talked about this last week when they were in the midst of more like a 7-game spurt, which is they're shooting the hell out of the ball. And they're shooting well above average from a lot of these different spots. I mean, one of the things that really sticks out, they are taking over 37% of their shots above the break, right? Like that's like supposed to be the least efficient 3-point shot. And yet they're shooting 41% from three and 39% on those non-corner threes. The location effective field goal percentage, cleaning the glass, has them at 53.5%. Their actual effective field goal percentage at 59.8. Like, in no way should they be able to keep this up, especially when over the same span, they're 20th in defense.
Yeah. All right, well, do you want me, if I can talk you off it, the one thing that scares me here is that the Bucks are 24th in the league at defending above the break threes. So it's not been a good team at defending the spot that the Celtics want to get most of their looks from. So that's something that scares me a little bit. I don't really think that Boston would be a play for me at this number. Like,
yeah.
I think maybe I would include a money line in some parlays or something, but I do think it's going to be a game that they win. It's just a matter of how much for me. And I don't know. It's tough. I mean, this Celtics team has been really impressive. I'm like at the point where I'm starting to think that Tatum's going to be back at the end of the season. Like, I think they can argue with him about when he comes back, and maybe they wait an extra month or two based on the date and play it safe in that regard. But I do kind of think that if they are above 500 and in the top six in the Eastern Conference, you got to bring him back.
Does that mean you should bet them to win the finals? Like, should we be investing in them to win the, like, not even, I mean, I guess win the finals, like, can this team with Tatum and Brown do enough to beat OKC? Again, we go back to that point. I don't know. I mean, the East, you can convince me like six teams can win the Eastern Conference. I really wouldn't care about that. But to like the finals is where you kind of draw the line. Like, is it worth bringing Tatum back? And I know they don't believe this as a team and a franchise, just to lead them to slaughter in a finals if they get there.
Yeah, I think I'm with what you said earlier in the show, where it's like my futures at this point are just like to win the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
I'm not going to really touch them to win the actual NBA title. I mean, it's not even because of OKC alone, too. It's like I would have whatever team comes out of the West favored over whatever team that comes out of the East by a pretty wide margin, unless it's like a strange situation where it's like, I don't know if it's the best team in the East against like the Rockets find a way to get in. And there's just a little bit more uncertainty there because they still are a team missing Fred VanVleet. I don't know if the Rockets
and at that point too, to be fair too, they'd probably, I don't think they'd be, this is, sounds odd, but downgraded because I would assume they're like went through like a dogfight with the Oklahoma City Thunder to get to that point. You know what I mean? And so what that means for you afterwards, is that probably worth like a small downgrade as odd as it might sound?
Yeah, it probably would be, but I will say, like, I think the Celtics are only plus 750 to win the Eastern Conference right now. It's not long enough for me. Like, if it were double digits,
the conference kind of stinks.
I know. If it were double digits, I'd be considering it because, yeah, I'm really expecting Tatum to be back. You keep hearing from all of like the insiders at ESPN and stuff, like, that he really wants to be back, and it's going to be like an organizational problem that they're going to keep him off the floor if they have to.
Can I give you my player prop angle here?
Yes, go for it.
Kevin Porter Jr. over 2.5 made threes. It's -115, -120, depending on where you shop. I got it -115. This has kind of been the odd surprise. Look, he's only been back for 5 games. But in the, I think he's played 6 total this year. He's averaging 5.7 3-point attempts per game this season. He's put up 6.2 per contest since he's come back. So he's just like pulling up and shooting. Now, a vast majority of those are like pull-ups. I shouldn't say vast, but a majority of them are pull-ups. Like, he's just coming up and pulling up and hitting these. He's shooting 61% from three, by the way. It's not going to last. But my thought here was twofold. If you look at the numbers without Giannis, Milwaukee immediately reversed to like this jump shooting team. You know, if Giannis is on the floor, 39% of their attempts come at the rim. When he's off the floor, 25% of their attempts come at the rim. Like, it just completely stops. They just start taking jump shots all over the place. Their three-point rate obviously rises with Giannis not out there. And I feel like in a matchup like this, when you're taking on Boston, who we know what Joe Mazzulla wants to do, you as a team are probably going to get lulled into thinking like, oh, we got a match. And so you're probably going to take more threes. You already do without Giannis. And if AJ Green's not going to be out there, I mean, you've got to find some way to replace some of that three-point shooting with a team that's going to force you to do it. And the Celtics over this stretch and for the season, they do allow a lot of three-pointers themselves. Opponents have taken over 40% of their attempts from beyond the arc against Boston. They've shot 38% during this run. I feel like this might be a good opportunity to ask Kevin Porter to just keep doing what he's doing and just pull up and hit threes. I don't know if he'll hit them, but I feel like the attempts will be there and worth playing here in this matchup.
Yeah, I think I like that. I was actually looking at Gary Trent because of the AJ Green angle. Sure. If he misses this game, there's going to need to be some more three-point shooting. So it could definitely be Porter Jr. just kind of firing away more, you know, off the dribble threes. And yeah, they might not be great looks, but that's the guy that, you know, he can make those. So yeah, it's not a bad look. I was actually, I wanted to take Ryan Rollins' points and assists again. I ended up staying off of it because he has gone under in 2 straight games, but it's really tempting because it's down at 24.5. He's still averaging around 30 of those without, you know, Giannis in the lineup. And, you know, last game was not great, but his usage rate was 33.3%. So, like, if the thought is that Kevin Porter Jr. being back is taking the ball out of Rollins' hands, like, it's not necessarily true. So I am really tempted by 24.5 points and assists for Rollins. I actually played Jordan Walsh over 7.5 points at -118. He's had at least 9 points in 4 of the last 5 games. I mentioned before, Bucks really bad guarding above the break threes and shots at the rim too. That's kind of where Walsh does both. Like, he's been knocking down threes this year. He is good around the basket. Only thing I really worry about with Walsh is that he gets into foul trouble pretty regularly. But with no Giannis out there, like, who is he needing to be all up in their grill and like defending on the wing? Like, I'd be really surprised if he ends up being that aggressive and like dumb with his fouls in this game.
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense. I like that look. I think I'm going to add that.
He's been really good for like one of the most surprising players for them this season. Like, they needed some guys to kind of step up and, you know, show out and become rotation players for the future of the Boston Celtics. And I think that he's one of them. He's a very good defender.
I think so, too. I would agree. I liked what I've seen from him so far up to this point.
All right, let's move on to the next one, which is like more interesting than it should be to me. Trailblazers at Pelicans, another game that tips at 8 p.m. Eastern. Blazers are 4.5-point road favorites, totals 240.5. No Drew Holiday again for the Blazers. And also, Donovan Klingon's out, Young Hansen and Robert Williams III are questionable. Do you think this will be another Derek Queen game? Because I do think it will be.
It has to be, right? There's just like, who's playing center for Portland?
Yeah.
There's going to be no path of resistance really for Queen at this point right now. And I would feel like if you're the Pelicans, as we've continued, like we're just going to spam Derek Queen possessions and let's just see what he's got. I mean, so how would you attack it? Is it like points, rebounds, and assists? Is it just points and rebounds? I mean, I would assume you have to include rebounds in there in some sort of way, just given the fact that there's just no big bodies out there to eat some of those up.
Yeah, I went over 27.5 points, rebounds, and assists. I thought that was a really low number. It's -114. He had 53 combined points, rebounds, and assists last game. We're not going to get that. We're not going to get a triple-double out of him every night. But I do think that, like, with all of those absences at the center position, he should feast around the basket. I think he's always good for 4 or 5 assists. And that might be on the lower end of things. And then rebounding, I'd expect him to be pretty damn strong, too, with those guys out for tonight. So I really like Queen in this game. I think that he has another big game. I'm always a little bit nervous now because I do think that James Borrego is playing the tough love game with him a little bit more than Willie Green was. And he seems to like Yves Misi and like what he offers as a, you know, a defensive big. And he's the type of coach that like values, you know, the Kevon Looney, what he brings as a veteran that can play both ends of the floor and stuff like that. But, you know, I think we just saw like the ultimate star making performance out of Queen last game. And it'd be crazy to turn around and play him like 16 minutes. So I'm hoping that we do see him get, you know, a kind of a longer rope this game. And I think that he just, you know, responds in a way that we've seen him respond kind of all season long. Like, this is a guy that's unfazed by the fact that he is part of what many believe to be one of the worst trades of all time.
Is it coincidence or is it like signal here that I believe they are 9-4 ATS since firing Willie Green?
I think it's coincidence, but I don't, like, I just think that this team is more talented than the record suggests. Like, there's, yeah, I don't know, 7-8 guys on this team that I think are good players that other teams would really want. And I think that when I was doing the NBA betting guide for VSiN, like before the season, I kind of struggled with going under on this team's win total because like it is a roster that looks very good.
Sure. No, I would agree with that. I mean, and the young upside, like we've talked about, obviously with Queen and Fears or whatnot, it looks pretty good. And I actually think, you know, if I remember correctly, Borrego was the head coach for Charlotte that year that they won like 40 games and then made that play in. And, you know, like he's actually a good coach. He's been one of those dudes that's kind of been on the, you know, some of these benches, almost like Kenny Atkinson, where you saw him do a good job in Brooklyn and you're like, why is he just an assistant like for years to come? And then now that he's finally got a shot, I think you're finally seeing like with an adult in the room, like, oh yeah, like this, he actually is a coach and he can actually get the most out of these guys. And I think you see some of the young, like the young nature of this team, you know, not being able to close out some of these shootouts, you know, losing a few overtime games in like the last 5, but they lost to Memphis, they lost to Minnesota, they lost a shootout to San Antonio the other day, I think it was too. So I kind of like what I've seen from them, and I've been a Borrego guy since that year with Charlotte. So I've kind of been looking at them. And by the way, for the audience too, not only just 9-4 since they fired Willie Green, they've covered 5 out of the last 6. So like they've been really good.
Yeah, and I jumped right into the player prop angle, but I actually do like the Pelicans side in this game. I think that if it gets to 5 or 5.5, I'll end up being on New Orleans. And I think that if I could buy it up to 5 or 5.5 at like -125 or better, I'll probably end up doing so. Like, I think that it was -133 the last time I looked for 5.5. But I'm going to be looking throughout the day because I think that this is a Pelicans team that, you know, facing it's a good matchup. That's all I really say. I think Drew Holiday's out again. That's a really good two-way player for Portland. And I think that, you know, Denny Avdia, as good as he's been, as much as he's carried the mantle for my people, is the dragon bender who was promised. I do think that this is a matchup that's somewhat tough for him because I think that, you know, you have Herb Jones, you have Murphy on the wing. Like, you have some length out there to kind of disrupt the best player on the Blazers side. I just kind of wonder where all the efficient offense comes from for Portland.
What, by the way, because we talked about him, he's still kind of holding stubbornly at 10-1 to win Rookie of the Year, Derek Queen. Is that an ad?
It's tough. It's because like
he
the Borrego,
Cooper Flag and Con Knipple. Yeah.
Yeah. The Borrego stuff is what makes me the most nervous. Like, if I knew for a fact that Queen was going to play 28 plus minutes a night every game the rest of the season, like, I would say it's a no brainer to add it. It's just like, there's been so many games where it's just been him inexplicably on the bench, and Flag has been really coming on over the last week or so, like looking like a borderline all-star in my opinion. So I think that Flag runs away with it from here. I said last week that if you can get Flag at anything -120 or better, I think it's a play.
Up to -140. Okay.
Yeah. All right, well, let's move on to Nuggets Kings. That's the final game of the night. Not exactly ending with a bang, but 10 p.m. Eastern tip. Nuggets are favored by 10.5. Total's 240.5. No Christian Brown, no Aaron Gordon for the Nuggets again. And then the Kings injury report also loaded with no Zach LaVine, no Sabonis, and then potentially no Schroeder listed as doubtful. Did you take anything here?
No, but I mean, so these are different iterations. Do we take anything from previous matchups that have been kind of tough here? Like Sacramento seems to push Denver a little bit. I know Denver won the first two. They lost the last time they met. But if you're, I think, was it the first time they played? It was a 131-124 game. I think in their second contest out in Sacramento, they got off to a pretty slow start, Denver did, and then had to like kind of pull away in the second half, part of that run that they were on. But for whatever reason, Sacramento seems to kind of at least give Denver some trouble here. And as we have seen, as the Denver has kind of bounced back a little bit, they've won three straight. This has been a pretty impressive trip that they were just on, right? Indiana, Atlanta, Charlotte, and taking care of business, although those were some tight games. I do wonder if maybe there's something with a matchup that Denver, especially minus Christian Brown and Aaron Gordon, maybe find themselves in a little bit more of a shootout, even with some of the absences that are out there for Sacramento tonight.
Yeah, that's a good call. And I would also add, like, this is a game where if you're live betting, like, and the Kings have a lead or are close, yes, at any point, we have seen the Nuggets kind of press the button of like, we're the champions, or we've won an NBA title, you guys are terrible, we're going to go win this game now, and we're going to do it somewhat comfortably, even though it's close. So I think that there's a chance that they kind of pull away and a good look live.
My favorite thing I like to pretend happens is like at halftime they go in the locker room, they're just like, guys, can we just win this game, please? And then somebody's just like, yeah, sure, okay. And then they go out and do what they're supposed to do. So I would agree with that.
And I also like kind of taking learnings from last games too, like the previous games between these two. I do like Russell Westbrook over 34.5 points, rebounds, and assists at -118. I just think that this is like the ultimate break glass in case of emergency player where, yes, like we have no Sabonis, we have no LaVine. We need somebody to make up for the production of two guys and potentially three with Schroeder. All right, Russ, you can do the job of four different players. So this is a guy that just had 24 points, 14 assists, 12 rebounds last game. I think he's gone over in two of the three meetings between these teams. I could see him putting up a monster stat line.
I used this the other day, and I want to try this one more time. It's non Luka Doncic Austin Reeves coded, right? Where, yeah, like when, yeah, Luka Doncic doesn't play and JJ Redick's like, here, dude, take the ball in every possession and do whatever you want. And I think it's the same thing for Sacramento too, where it's just like, Russ, please, like, just, we're losing, like, go ahead and do whatever you want, you can have every possession when you're out there. His usage rate, I'm sure, is 100% when he plays in those games. And so it sounds like that's exactly what it is.
I know. I'm actually trying to look up right now. I think you can have a triple double at +450 if you were to, ooh, be so bold as that. I mean, maybe like you go a full unit on the PRA and then a quarter unit on the triple double +450.
Yeah. By the way, you should note too, the Nuggets have been on a pretty good overrun. I think they were 9-2 in their last 11, and the last time out against Charlotte, that snapped a 7-0 run to the over. So they have been an over team recently.
All right. Well, time to put your hoops IQ to the test with Better Picks. Open the Better app, pick more or less on your favorite players' points, rebounds, assists, then watch the sweat in real time. Use code VSINPOD for $10 free, no deposit needed. Plus, Better's got insane multipliers, up to 1,000x on just two picks. Download Better, BETR, and get in the game with promo code VSINPOD, VSINPOD. We just talked through a lot of player props. I think the Better's a really good place to go over. Check them out. I mean, you're getting $10 free. You get the multiplier. So if you do want to join on those Russell Westbrook plays, like, there's probably some fun stuff out there. But let's recap our best bets because we got into a lot for today, and I want to, you know, make it a little bit easier on the people. What exactly are you playing tonight in terms of official plays?
I'm going to have Kevin Porter Jr. over 2.5 made three-pointers tonight, and I am going to join you on Derrick Queen over on those points, rebounds, and assists. What was the number?
Let's go. 27.5 -114.
27.5. With the absences at center, it's hard not to see a game in which Queen has the ball in his hands a lot here, so we'll go with that as well.
Awesome. All right, and then I took Jordan Walsh over 7.5 points at -118 against the Bucks. Clippers +9.5 at -110 versus the Rockets. Queen over 27.5 PRA versus the Blazers. And then I have Russell Westbrook over 34.5 points, rebounds, and assists at -118 against the Nuggets. And I do think I'm going to sprinkle the triple double just to have a little something on it. I think I'm not going to go a quarter unit. That seems like crazy talk, but I'll go a little bit less than that.
Cool. Yep. Works for me. Man, I'm excited. This game should be good now. Now I'm in.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the greatest slate in the world, but there's some stuff to watch. I mean, I'm definitely looking forward to Clippers Rockets as much as this Los Angeles team has been disappointing throughout the year. Like, it's still a team that has, like, just so much talent. They've got cool jerseys. They've got the, I don't know, there's something there to keep you around.
I mean, this was that was the sad part about it. I was so down with, like, the logo change and everything. And then, like, this is what we get. I'm like, oh, this is terrible. This sucks.
I know. They unveiled, like, a Dodgers-like set of just, like, perfect jerseys. And then they give you this product. It's terrible. But, yeah, I really appreciate you joining us. These Thursdays are always fun. So I hope that you guys enjoyed the podcast today. And good luck with your bets tonight. And we'll see you again tomorrow for the Friday edition of Hardwood Handicappers.